Mr. Don Becker, that was for you. Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. All right. Let's see here. Okay, tonight we are going to find out about the South. Remember last week, everybody wanted to know about what about the South. So tonight we'll get some ideas about what happened with the South and campaign personnel. And we took up the King of the North and Kings of the East, Kings of the West, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Southern Bloc, so this will be, let's see, point six, because we did the Satanic Trinity as one, point two, the King of the North, and then three, the Kings of the East, four, Kings of the West, five, the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's just throw in five, and then six will still be the Lord Jesus Christ. The Southern Bloc. The Southern Bloc is the Pan-Arabic nations, probably led by Egypt. Probably. We don't have anything documented they were led by Egypt, but probably. But before we get into all of that, those are just preview of things to come tonight. And let's have a word of prayer. And be sure we're oriented to why we're here. Let's talk about prayer. Did everybody get and read about Harold? Okay. He's not doing very well. And he's down in outside of Houston and in the Woodlands. And so there's a lot of good friends live in the Woodlands area. And we just need to be in prayer for Harold and Lillian. Then need to be in prayer for the Hesses. Need to be in prayer for Tish. She heard from her doctors yesterday, and they think that it's time to go in and surgically remove that area. And now the discussion today came up with where it's going to be, and I really would let her tell you, but seems to be a problem that if she has it in the States, they will require that they clip into the hip bone, cut into that. She doesn't want him to do that. So the doctor told her the only alternative was to go to Mexico, and he would go to Mexico and do the operation. And just a shame what we got going on in this country. And but we need to be in prayer. She's seems to be doing very well with it. Let's see. Don Becker and his brother-in-law Richard, as they continue to travel from California over to back up to Missouri and Iowa. And he's listening to Galatians for about the fifth time. And he called me today and said, man, every time I listen to this, I just hear something different. And just more things in it. So, Jimmy told me I needed to listen to Sunday's offering. He said, I said something to the effect, if you give, it'll help your momentum. I don't remember saying anything like that. I guess I'll have to listen to it. And see what string he's pulling on me.
Because he's.
Yeah, when I remember that, yeah.
Make a big pledge.
You hear that, Don? The phone rang at offering Sunday morning. We thought it was you phoning in a big pledge. All right. But we need to be in prayer for Don and Richard as they continue to travel. He called me. They were going into Nevada, and he said, now, is it okay if we go to Nevada and we give the church 50% of everything we make? And I said, absolutely, but don't send us a bill of every 50% of everything you lose either. And so he said, they're having a good time traveling back together, and he just sounded really good. So let's continue to be in prayer for Don Becker and his brother-in-law Richard as they continue to travel. Let's see. Who else in house? Let's continue to be for in prayer for Romeo's family, Hazel, as she still works on maybe getting some kind of security of being here so she can get a passport. And I've going to make contact with a lawyer, hopefully Thursday or Friday, if I can get some studies done. And so we'll be in prayer for them in that respect. Be in prayer for the Hesses, all of the Hesses. We need to be in prayer for them. And that includes Paul, includes Tyson and Heather and Bill, of course. We need to be in prayer for them. Need to be in prayer for for Vic Edwards and his wife Cindy, and we need to be in prayer for them. Let's see, who else we need to be in prayer for?
Probably Brian,
right? Brian, absolutely. I knew there was somebody else in the house, so we need to be in prayer for Brian. We need to be in prayer for all of our shut-ins, and some of you may not know who they are, but need to be in prayer for Brian. And the doctors, lead the doctors in finding out what's wrong with him. It's just, that's so aggravating, have something wrong, and they don't know what's wrong. What Jim Passmore does, if he can't figure out what's wrong with your eye, he pokes his finger in there, and that gives him something to work on. I'm just kidding you, Jim. Does this hurt? Oh, now can you see? All right. So let's have a word of prayer and be in prayer. And then we'll test yourself to see if you're trusting the Spirit to open your eyes to the passages we're going to be looking at. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we continue our study on the awesomeness of your love, that you know, Heavenly Father, that we are an inquisitive people. We like to know what's going on, and you've given us just enough information about what's left in history to give us peace, hope, and confidence. At this time in our nation's history, this time in history itself, the tribulational period, and what the time frame and the setup for Jesus Christ's return to this earth. We won't be here, Father. We'll be with Him in heaven. But what a phenomenal time frame that's going to be when Your Son returns to planet Earth. We know, Heavenly Father, when we talk like this, that the unbelieving world thinks we babble like fools. But we know all these things are yet to occur. Father, we praise you for giving us this information. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, we finished up now with the movement to contact. We studied various aspects in that regard. And the second one was Armageddon is not, y'all decided you wanted this to be a main point, is not a battle, it's a campaign. Three, the time of the campaign. And then four, movement to combat. Five, geographical location of the campaign, Jerusalem, Armageddon, Jehoshaphat Valley, Edom, the whole land of Palestine. Six, the campaign personnel. And that's where we left off last week. We went through the personnel, and tonight we take up the movement to battle. The actual movement to battle. Okay. Point one. Four great armies start their movement to contact for battle against Israel. This is the greatest anti-Semitism ever in history. This is the Armageddon campaign and brings about the second advent. But sometime, not all at once, it wasn't like it was a coordinated, but sometime toward the middle of the tribulation, the armies start, they're garrisoning up. As we move to war closer, maybe in the next year and a half, 2 years, they start moving in toward Jerusalem. Point two, the movement of world powers. The movement of world powers. The Eastern Oriental Bloc. The Eastern Oriental powers. This makes up primarily the Chinese forces. Move across the Euphrates. Remember, the Euphrates is dried up to facilitate their movement. to Jerusalem, and so they will move across Euphrates into Palestine. They will be challenging the Western Bloc. Now remember, originally, they're moving. The Western Bloc has set itself up to protect Jerusalem. That was the treaty at the beginning of the tribulation period. So they're there to protect. So these other armies are going to be moving against the Western Bloc, but the Western Bloc is going to pull back, pull out of this, and become an enemy of Jerusalem. So their movement will first of all be to take on the Western Bloc, who has designed, who has a treaty to protect Israel, but this is not going to work. Now, the Euphrates River is dried up to facilitate the movement of this vast army through the Euphrates plains. Let's look at Revelation 16. Revelation 16, verse 12. Revelation 16, 12. And while you're turning there, I just want to say, it is just so, so wonderful being back in a momentum of Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, of teaching, meeting. It was just, I certainly enjoyed my month and a half, whatever it was, the marriage, the conference, and the honeymoon, and then going to Missouri to salute Nancy, then the camp. And but I'm just glad to be back into momentum now, and Judith says she's glad, so we're in a good fun momentum now. Revelation 16, verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up, that the way might be prepared for the kings from the east. So there will be more than one king, but there will be armies coming in from the east. You remember the Euphrates is one of the four rivers that flowed out of the Garden of Eden back in Genesis. So it's been a player through history. Now we might just take a look, spend 20, 30 minutes just looking at the Euphrates through history. The Southern Bloc. This is the Pan-Arabic nations. The Pan-Arabic nations. Led by Egypt, to challenge the Northern Bloc. Not necessarily take on the Western Bloc, but to challenge the Northern Bloc. Now, you remember that Egypt and Russia have, through history, pitted against each other for various places and movements. And when Russia was against Israel at some time, the Russian Bloc would supply Israel. And other times, it'd be the enemy of Israel. But the Southern Bloc, the Pan-Arabic nations, led by Egypt, to challenge the Northern Bloc. Let's look at Daniel 11. Daniel 11, verse 40. Daniel 11, 40. Daniel 11, 40. Anybody know where Jerry and Leslie are tonight? No? Okay. All right. Just want to know if there's anything serious. All right, Daniel 11:40. And at the end time, the king of the south will collide with him, and the king of the north will storm against him with chariots, with horsemen, cavalry, and with many ships, the naval, and they will enter countries, overflow them, and pass through them. In other words, Egypt and the probably Ethiopia, these nations will come up and they'll pass through small countries going toward Egypt, or excuse me, going toward Jerusalem. Okay, then you have the Northern Bloc. The Northern Bloc. This is the Russian-Soviet bloc. Now, Jim, this is where, Langston, this is where the Gog, the land of Magog, will come in, and we're going to take that up when we finish this aspect of our study. But this is where the Gog is a name of a ruler. It's like Pharaoh. And he rules over the land of Magog. We'll be looking at Ezekiel 38 and 39. Either maybe we'll get into it tonight, but certainly next week. They desire to gain control of Africa. The Soviet, the Russian bloc is coming down through to pass through and gain control of Africa due to its resources. He will make use of both strategic maneuvers, envelopment, and penetration. We'll look at some of this. One arm is the army, the other is the navy. The Russian fleets sail out of the Black Sea through the Bosporus into the Mediterranean down and take over or attack Israel, come into that area. So this is how they're going to do it. The land forces cross the western end of either Iran or Turkey, modern-day Iran, modern-day Turkey, and move into Lebanon, Syria, pass through Palestine is their objective, the Negev, Sinai, into countries like Egypt, Ethiopia, Libya, and into Africa. Okay, do you want some verification? Let's take a look at Daniel 11, verse 41. We just looked at Daniel 11, 40. Let's take now a look at Daniel 11, 41 for the movement of the northern bloc. He will enter the beautiful land, and many countries will fall, but these will be rescued out of his hand. Edom, Moab, and the foremost of the sons of Ammon. So we'll come to remember Jesus is said to come out of Edom. So we'll have to put all of that together. I'm just giving you a feel of what's happening. And if you want to have a little introduction to what we're going to be looking at with Gog and Magog, look at Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38. This is just such cool stuff. Ezekiel 38. And I want to read, before we even get to the passage that we're talking about right now, Ezekiel 38, we're going to look at 38, but let's look right here at 38:2. 38:2. And I shall turn you around, drive you on, take you up. Oh, that's 39. Y'all want 38? Okay, be picky. Ezekiel 38. You know, I was looking at that. That doesn't sound right because I've been working on them. But okay. All right, 38:2. Son of man, that's Ezekiel. And by the way, his name means, if you see the EL on the end of his name, whenever you see that, you know it has to do with God or the Lord, Yahweh. And his name means the strength. The strength is the Lord. My strength is the Lord. Okay. Ezekiel 38:2. Son of man, set your face toward Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, Tubal, and prophesy against them. Now we're going to look a little later, but people, if you think about this, this is given over 2,500 years ago. Still hadn't happened. So we have to decide if you're going to believe it or not. I'm sorry? Okay. Son of man, we're going to read through verse by verse quickly, Ezekiel 38 and maybe even 39, but what he says here, son of man, set your face toward Gog, that means toward the north. Gog is in the north. The land of, Gog is like a pharaoh. He's the ruler, chieftain. Toward Gog, of the land of Magog. Now Magog is Russia, in the north. It means expanded, expansed. The word Magog, the prince. Now this is the prince is the who Gog is, and these are various clans, areas in Russia, at this time. Prophesy against him. That's against Gog. And he is leader, he is the pharaoh, if you please, the king, the general, over these various countries, and we'll take a look at them, what their names mean, where they come from. Okay, so, we're dealing with the northern bloc, and it's the Russia-Soviet bloc, and it's going to be prophesied in Daniel, it's prophesied in Ezekiel 38 and 39, and we'll get to that. One thing that's interesting, you might want to ask yourself, why? There's other places, there's the Eastern Bloc countries, Southern countries, Western. Why does he pick out Gog to expand on, like in Ezekiel 38. And we'll take a look at the, why he does that in our study. So these are the various forces that are moving, and they will come up, like I said, with their navy, establishing both land and sea strongholds. The navy envelops the northern coast lines of North Africa, while the land forces advance into the interior. So the northern block and the southern block are going to really hook it in at this time in the battle. All right, point three. But let's see if we have a little idea. Abstract drawing. Here's an abstract of the Mediterranean. And this is, of course, the eastern sea line. And actually, I'll need a little bit more space than that. So here we come. Okay, here's Egypt. All right, now, here we'll just put Jerusalem right here. Yes, we're doing. So we have the northern army advancing down this direction. And we have the eastern moving across this way. And they're going to move across the Euphrates, because the land is dry now, and they'll be able to move across. We have the southern block moving up like this, and challenging the northern block. The northern block really isn't headed toward Jerusalem. It's headed toward North Africa. Here is North Africa. And but the southern kingdom wants to come up and fight them. So that's what we have going so far. Now, point three. The G2 report, out of the east, over here, and the north, trouble the southern rulers. So let's take a look at what's happening now. Look at Daniel chapter 11. Go back to Daniel 11. Daniel 11:44. Or excuse me, Daniel 11, yeah, 11:44. 11:44. But rumors, now rumors are your G2 report. This is your espionage reporting. Rumors from the east over here, and from the north up here, will disturb him, king of the south here, and he will go forth with great wrath to destroy and annihilate many. So he's going to be picking up momentum once he gets these reports of these armies moving in. And that's why I think with sophistication the way it is today, they'd know the moment it happened. But please remember, so much of the earth has been destroyed. So much of the earth is in clamor. I mean, the sun is cut out. That's cut out a lot of the communication towers and all of that. And we're, in my opinion, we're back to days like in the war between the states, where you captured somebody carrying some plans and this kind of thing. So we had a G2 report that he gets from the east, and a G2 report from the north, how they're moving. Well, that disturbs him. And so he doesn't know what to do about it. So that's Daniel 11:44. Look at Revelation 16. Put a lot of these things together to put in place the movement here. Revelation 16, verse 12. Revelation 16, verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and the water was dried up, that the way might be prepared. We just read that, I'm sorry. And what he's hearing is the movement of the northern troops and the movement of the eastern troops moving in. That's all that he's hearing. So, out of the east he hears the block. It is that the eastern block, Chinese, have invaded Palestine. And they have invaded Palestine. He has moved up. And they're coming in this way, almost behind him. And that really troubles him, because he can't afford to have the eastern block here setting up their block, and the northern block here. He's in between. He's trapped. He can't have that. So this is why it's disturbing him, the movement of the various troops. Also, by now, he has a G2 report from the north that from the Western Bloc has also invaded Palestine and has probably cut off his supply line. So what we have here is the Western Bloc has now moved in, and so into the Palestine area, the whole area here. So, and he's stuck right here. Well, this one on this side, maybe behind him, this one in front of him, this one coming from his flank. So he's in a real hurt right now, and of what to do. Having cut off his supply line, cutting off his line from the ships that are here, for the ports are here that he's going to land in. So they cut that off. So he's in real trouble. He's in real trouble. Okay, point four. The king of the Northern Bloc has planned an attack against the South, the Southern Bloc, Southern nations. So him, the king of the North, must now change plans. Or excuse me, the king of the Southern Bloc is what we're talking about. He now must change his plans. He must now turn around and go back into toward Palestine to stop the East. He has moved up into this dangerous area. Here's Jerusalem. And he's moved. Well, this pen's going out on me. All right. He's moved in this area. Let me just see if I don't have a whole box of these rather than working through that. Let's see what we got here. I'll see if this one will work. All right. So he is here. He's up here in this area. They're here. They're coming in this way behind him. They're coming in this way. So he's going to have to make a about-face move to get back to the south, to where he'll be supplied by his own people. Now, his navy, that's all right, Jim. His navy, his army of the Northern Bloc head for Jerusalem with great wrath. This is what he heard. They're coming into Jerusalem with great wrath. They reach Jerusalem, between Jerusalem and the Mediterranean, ready to attack and destroy Jerusalem. So this block has come in on this side, and you have to realize this is not in proportion. This is really way up because there's a lot of area here. They've moved in into the northern part of the plains of Megiddo. So this is where they are, and they've got their ships here, and they're getting ready to move into Jerusalem with great wrath. Okay. Point five. The Western Bloc of 10 nations. The Western Bloc of 10 nations have moved into the Valley of Megiddo, using both land and sea forces to counter the movements of the Northern Bloc. So they're all moving in. Here's Jerusalem, caught in the middle of all of this. And they're moving in. So that this bloc has moved in, the Northern Bloc has moved in. So the Western Bloc, 10 nations, have moved into the Valley of Megiddo, using both land and sea forces to counter the movements of the Northern Bloc. Point six. As to what the Pan-Arabic Bloc was doing, the Pan-Arabic, that would be all on this side of Jerusalem, where the Arab nations are. As to what the Pan-Arabic Bloc were doing while the Northern armies are moving through their land, they are more interested in overthrowing their long-time enemy, the Jews of Palestine, and they see how as this is a good opportunity for the Arabs to move into the area of Jerusalem through Edom into the area. So the Pan-Arabic nations over here, they're seeing all of this as an opportunity to go in and annihilate the Jews of Jerusalem. So that's what they're doing. All right, seven. The frog demons have now moved all the armies of the world and all the kings of the world into Palestine. Now, what about America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, all these other countries? Okay, it's up for speculation. They're not involved. They're not involved in any of this. I think they're all third world countries, and they're just not important, and that includes America. Just not important. They're not important players. If all of this were to happen right now today, they'd be important players. They're not important players. These are the nations of the whole world of the of biblical history that are moved into the area here. Okay. Any questions of what's going on and how it's going on? Okay. Point 7. The frog demons have now moved all the armies of the world, all the kings, the leaders of these armies, into Palestine. All right, let's look at Revelation 16:14. 16:14. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world, to gather them together for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty, Jesus Christ. So this is what they're doing. So we take that and we say, well, there must be some kind of facilities or armies from our hemisphere, but they're just not major players. All right, let's look also at Revelation 19:19. Revelation 19:19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assemble to make war against him who sat upon the horse and against his army. That's Jesus Christ. So all the armies have now moved, have been moved into this area, various things that brought them there, but they all now surround Jerusalem. Revelation 19, verse 19, and then verse 17, chapter 17. Let's go back to chapter 17, verse 4. Chapter 17, verse 4. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. All of them have gathered. Look at chapter 13 of Revelation. Chapter 13, verses 6 and 7. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe. This is the king of the dictator of the Roman Empire. The tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. So all of this is now gathering up around Jerusalem for this great battle. Point 8. For whatever the various reasons, these individual kings are now gathered around Jerusalem. Satan's objective, of course, is to destroy all Jews. This is unparalleled anti-Semitism launched by Satan. 9. The setting in Palestine, forces of the beast are bivouacked in the valley of Megiddo. Forces of Gog, the north, around Jerusalem, in the Jehoshaphat Valley. Forces of the east and south are around the valley of Edom. And 10, militarily, Israel is in condition red at the end of the tribulation. That is, Israel is in a hopeless, helpless condition. They have no army by which they can overtake all of these armies around them. They are in a helpless situation. Siege, the next point, siege of Jerusalem. Siege of Jerusalem. For the siege of Jerusalem, let's begin by looking at Zechariah. We're going to be looking a lot at Zechariah. Yes, major point eight. Excuse me. Okay, Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. See the AH, the end of his name, that's Yah or Yahweh. Another ill ending for referring to God. But this is Zechariah 12, and let's read verses 1 through 3 of Zechariah 12. The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. In other words, the creator of all things, the one in total control. All right? Behold, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the people around, and when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah, the tribe of which the Messiah comes out of. Verse 3, and it will come about in that day, the day of the second advent, the day of these things toward the very end of the tribulation, beginning of the millennium, come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. So this is what Satan has done now. He's got all these nations of the world surrounding Jerusalem, getting ready to attack and destroy. But all of their efforts is going to be so heavy pressed on them, it will lead to their destruction. Look at Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14. And let's read it from this standpoint, the first four verses. Behold, a day is coming. People, please remember, these are over 2,500 years ago. We have to decide if you believe it or not. A day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, women raped, and half the city exiled. But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth. This is exactly coming down to earth now. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in the middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. This will be from the Mount of Olives over to the Great Sea, the Sea of the Mediterranean. All of this is going to become very fertile. It's going to facilitate leaving Jerusalem. It's just got so many things when he does that to the land. So the power that controls Palestine controls the world. We saw that at the very beginning of this study. The world, therefore, controls the world. Therefore, Jerusalem must be taken to control the world. Plus the fact the world hates the Jews. Point two. Let's just get a quick placement of everybody. All right, let me get this back up here. Here is the Mediterranean. Here is the city of Jerusalem. Okay, there's the city of Jerusalem. The north, between Mount Zion and the Great Sea. Mount Zion be up here, and this is the Great Sea, the Sea of the Mediterranean. So this is where the northern army is. West, in the Valley of Megiddo. So the western army is in this whole area that travels all the way down. This is the Valley of Megiddo. The east is in the Jehoshaphat Valley. Here's the Jehoshaphat Valley. Judith, you've been to the Jehoshaphat Valley, right? Has anybody else been over there? Judith's been over there about five times and made different tours, different things. And so this is the Jehoshaphat Valley. And the southern army will be in Edom. So this is where all of the armies are located at this particular day. All right? Three. The north makes the first aggressive move toward Jerusalem, or on Jerusalem. The north, right here, makes its first aggressive move on Jerusalem. Makes an attack on half of the city. Devastates half of the city, slaughtering the men, raping the women. It's going to be a horrible, horrible day, people. Other armies follow and attack against the Jews, against Jerusalem. And a great darkness covered the earth in this area. So as all of these armies now come against them, a great darkness is going to cover up, and it's going to give them, disorient all of these armies. Four, at this strategic moment, when Israel is about to be destroyed, Jesus Christ returns to the earth to defend and fight for Israel. To defend and fight for Israel. I hope you haven't closed your Bibles from Zechariah. Let's look at Zechariah. We just read Zechariah 1 through 3. Now look at verse 4. And in that day, his feet will stand, well, we did read it, the Mount of Olives, and will be split. This is when he comes down. This is where he's going to come down to do his fighting at this particular time and event. Okay? The lion of the tribe of Judah will come. Second advent. His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, where he destroys the armies around Jerusalem, splits the earth, a refuge for the Jews, as they find safety by passing through this valley formed by Jesus Christ splitting the earth. Five, the forces of Edom are destroyed. The forces of Edom that were encamped in Edom area are destroyed. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63. All these passages dealing with what is yet to take place. And it's up to a person to decide whether they believe in the faithfulness of God or not. Isaiah 63, let's look at 1 through 6. Woe is this who comes from Edom with garments of glowing colors from Bazar, this one who is majestic in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. It is I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save, though with mighty power to deliver Jerusalem. Why is your apparel red, and your garments like the ones who tread in the winepress? I will trodden the wine through the trough alone, no help. This is Jesus Christ. And from the peoples there was no man with me. I also trod them in my anger, trampled them in my wrath, and their blood, their life blood, is sprinkled on my garments, and I stained all my raiment. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and my year of redemption has come. And I looked, and there was no one to help, and I was astonished there was no one to uphold. So my own arm brought salvation to me, deliverance, and my wrath upheld me. And I trod down the peoples in my anger, and made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth. Let's look at Isaiah 34. Look at Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34, and let's just read verses 5 and 6. Let's just read verses 5 and 6. and my sword is satiated in heaven. Behold, it shall descend for judgment upon Edom and upon the people whom I have devoted for destruction. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is sated with fat. That means the richness of the people being killed. With the blood of lambs and goats. With the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord's death blows to the kidneys. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bezorah and a great slaughter in the land of Edom. So this is what's going to happen to Edom. 6. The forces of Jerusalem are destroyed. The forces of Jerusalem, that's the nations that have formed and come into Jerusalem, are destroyed. Let's look at Zechariah 12. Zechariah 12. Zechariah chapter 12, and we are going to read, as soon as I find a thing. It's always embarrassing when a preacher can't even find something. That's why a lot of times y'all say, I read the passage name 3 or 4 times. I'm looking for the doggone passage. Alright. There we go. Alright, Zechariah 12, and let's read, look at verse 4. Thus says the Lord, in that day, this is the day of the second advent, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with bewilderment, and his rider with madness, but I will watch over the house of Judah while I strike every horse of the people with blindness, of darkness that will come over the city. Point 7, the forces gathered at Armageddon, Valley of Megiddo, are slaughtered. Let's look at Revelation 16, 16. Revelation 16, 16. And they gathered them together to the place in Hebrew is called Armageddon. And this is where those battles are being slaughtered. Most people think all of this is going to happen in the Valley of Megiddo, but most of it happens around Jerusalem. This is where their head target is, to kill the Jews and to slaughter all the Jews. Okay, I don't know how far we'll get, but we have at least about 10 minutes. So let's take up Gog, G-O-G, and Magog. A lot of people hear about it, few understand it. Gog and Magog. First of all, where is it in the Bible? Ezekiel 38 and 39. Revelation 28. Now, these are not referring to the same things. The Revelation 20 verse 8 refers to all the Gentiles of the earth. In application of what's going to happen in Ezekiel 38 and 39. I'll come back to that point once you see what happens to Gog and in the land of Magog. Okay, meaning of the words. I'm just giving you some introductory material. Meaning of the words. Gog means elastic, stretched out, extended. Now, what we have going on here is that Gog is the name of the chieftain, the pharaoh, the leader. And he stretched out over many nations or clans of people. Magog means extreme extension or enlargement. This is spreading out over a large area in Russia. So you have the Gog is the leader, the chieftain, and he is ruler over Magog, which is an extension of a large area of Russia. Gog is the designated leader of nations or number of clans of the extreme north, that is Russia. Gog and Magog that is important to our study occurs in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Let me give you some introductory points. One, Ezekiel prophesied before, during, and after the completion of the siege of Jerusalem. Now, wait a minute. Ezekiel's prophesying of the siege of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. What we're looking at in this great final battle is the siege of Jerusalem by all these nations. So there's something in common in there. So it would stand to reason that when we get to Gog and understand him, why he's related in Revelation 20. Okay. So Ezekiel prophesied before, during, and after the completion of the siege of Jerusalem by Babylon. Again, his name means, Ezekiel means God strengthens, or God is my strength. Point two. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem in three stages. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem in three stages. The first stage was in 605 B.C. At this time, he took Daniel and Daniel's friends into hostage back to Babylon. So this is when Daniel goes to Babylon at this time, 605 B.C. The second one was in 597. Remember, in B.C. you go down. 597. You see it's some 8 years difference. 597. And the reason he invaded Jerusalem at this time was due to the rebellion by the Jews. Nebuchadnezzar is brought back back to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar brings back 10,000 hostages, including Ezekiel. So, first of all, Daniel, 597 B.C., he brings back Ezekiel, along with 10,000 others. This one lasted a little while. There was a great rebellion by the Jews, and Nebuchadnezzar just came down on them really hard. And the third and final one was in 586 B.C., and at this one, after a long siege of battle, he destroyed Jerusalem. Jerusalem destroyed. Now, Ezekiel is going to prophesy during all of this is going on, and then after it ends, he will still be writing and prophesying. Now, point three, put this in perspective for you. The date of the writing of Ezekiel, of his prophecy, it was a circa, his writing is circa 592 to 570. Down to 570. That's puts him as a contemporary with Jeremiah and Isaiah. But this is the time frame that is given to the prophecy of Ezekiel due to various names and things that he gives in his writing. This means that the prophecy of Ezekiel were given some 2,590 years ago, and they have not occurred yet. They have not yet come to pass. Do you believe that they will still come to pass or not? I do. I believe in the second advent. I believe in the battle of Armageddon or the siege of Jerusalem battle. And I believe it will happen. But Ezekiel believed it would happen. But this is 2,590 years ago. And as we saw in Habakkuk, many say, well, it isn't going to happen. Look how long it's taken. The prophet Habakkuk said, the righteous live by faith. We believe these things are going to happen. Believe that God is going to fulfill His word. All right, point four. Ezekiel 38 and 39. Ezekiel 38 and 39 is in the section of Ezekiel concerned with the restoration of Israel. Concerned with the restoration of Israel, the second advent, Armageddon, removal of Israel's enemies. Five. Ezekiel 38 is the prophecy of the attack against Israel by Gog. Chapter 39 of Ezekiel is concerned with the divine judgment against Gog. And finally, point six for tonight, why Gog? Why of all the armies moving from the west, from the east, from the south, even the Pan-Arabic bloc, why Gog? What's so important about Gog? Why isolate one area from the north to give it this full two chapters? God is using the northern army of Gog as a great object lesson of His sovereign power, authority over the nations of the world, and His love of His people. He is using it as an example through history of the sovereignty of God. Look at Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 10. Please look at Ezekiel, and let's just read one little part here of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 10. And you'll understand what he's doing is one example. As a warning through history. Ezekiel 6:10. Then, when I get through with Gog and Magog, for example, Gog of Magog, then they will know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would inflict this disaster on them. So his objective is that all these nations of the world will know that he is God. All these verses we've been studying in Romans, there is no God, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. All these, they will know that I am God. And what I'm going to do to Gog is an example of what I'm going to do to all the nations of the world. Next week, we'll take a look at the Gog of Magog and his battle, and then get back to our study in Revelation 20. Let's close. Any questions? Let's close in a word of prayer. Because of your grace, because of your mercy, because you have sent us your Spirit, we praise you that we know you are God. This is why, Heavenly Father, we endeavor to walk by faith, even when we do not understand what you're doing. We do know one thing, you are God. And we trust you. We do not take this in arrogance, but humbly. We take this as a manner of praising you, that we know who and what you are. That's why, Heavenly Father, we conduct ourselves and our marriages, our church attendance, all the things that we do, is because we know you are God. And we praise you, Father. We thank you for all your effort to draw all men to yourself. You have drawn us. We have responded. And we praise you, Father. In your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.